In the name of the risen Christ. Amen. I'm Elizabeth Rector, and I'm delighted to be with you on this second Sunday after the resurrection. I am also delighted to know that my friend Paula is resting, and hopefully a little bit that Peter is resting too. My work now, just to give you a little bit of context for where I live, I am the executive director of an organization called Stillpoint. And what we do is we train people to become spiritual directors. We also give programs to support the contemplative life of prayer. And when I say this, generally I get blank stares. What is a spiritual director, anyway? Just want to say a bit about that. Spiritual director is simply a companion on your journey to help you in a regular way reflect on how God is working in your life. Spiritual director meets with you about once a month. And it's similar, I think, in the other ways that we care for ourselves. Many of us have a personal trainer that we meet at the gym to help strengthen our body. That person meets us there, keeps us accountable, tells us to do things we don't want to do, but we do them to strengthen ourselves. On occasion, we need support with our emotional mental health. So we seek out counselors or therapists to help us stay healthy. Well, a spiritual director does that for our spiritual life. Gives us a place to meet up, stay accountable to paying attention to the ways that God is moving and having God's being in our life, in our relationships, in our work. So I get to do this fabulous work, and it allows me to travel around and visit churches on occasion. This morning, I want to have us maybe look at this person, this spiritual person, Thomas, maybe as one might sit with someone in spiritual direction. I want to begin, though, with a quote from another spiritual director, Hildegard of Bingen. She lived in the 12th century, was a Christian mystic. She writes this: "We cannot live in a world that is interpreted for us by others. An interpreted world is not a hope. Part of the terror is to take back our own listening, to use our voice, to see our own light." Let's listen to Thomas's life. The first thing that a good spiritual director will ask you is, "How's your prayer life?" It's not a question to judge. It's a good question. It shows a window into our relationship with God. How's it going? And this space and time is safe space. It's a place where we can admit, perhaps, that because of some grief or anger, that it's not going well, that it's hard for us to pray. And having a spiritual companion to sit with us and witness, it's okay to be honest about that. Some days we'll come and say, "It's going well. My prayer life feels strong." I'm feeling the abundance of God's presence, and it shows up in my prayer life. If I asked Thomas this question, I think he would say it's going well. Thomas has a wonderful way of praying. He tells God what he needs. He tells God, this is what I need. Should never be afraid to pray that. Should always be open and honest. Jesus tells us, you can ask me for whatever you want. Whatever you want from God, ask it. People always want to say, well, then can I ask for a car? I'm looking at the young ones. No, God doesn't make cars. But God is present in that desire. What do you need from God? This day, Thomas says, I need to see the wounds. I don't know if you've thought about this, but it's always been curious to me. And we heard the story today that Thomas wasn't there that first night. Where was he? Everybody, they said, was together. And even Luke's gospel tells us those folks that were on the way to Emmaus, when they had that experience of Jesus showing up on the way and then in their home at dinner, do you remember this? They got back on the road and they walked back to Jerusalem to be with the others. They needed this community to help them process what was happening. So how could it be that Thomas wasn't there? What was he doing? But I think his request of Jesus maybe is an insight. My hunch is that he was so devastated that he just couldn't be with anyone. That it would have been too hard to even be with friends. And maybe some of us know about that. He needed to be by himself. It was devastating that Jesus was crucified, such a violent death, snatched from them, their hope waning. What we know about the resurrection appearances is that each one of them, as described in the gospel, are unique for the person receiving the appearance. Cynthia Bergeau, in her beautiful book, The Wisdom Jesus, talks about each apostle needed something different. What Mary Magdalene needed was not what Peter needed. What Thomas needs is not what Mark needed. And in fact, some of the apostles, there's no record of an appearance. We don't ever hear that Jesus' mother has a resurrection appearance. Some of them didn't need it. Cynthia writes this, that in these appearances, Jesus is in fact holding the mirror before his friends to show them what stands in their way. what they will have to look at and work through in themselves in order to be able to see him through the light of their own hearts. Indeed, she says, this is the reason that Jesus is making this sojourn among them. He has to take them through this drama of recognition so that they will know beyond a shadow of a doubt how to find him from the inside. Thomas, who is so devastated by the wounds of Jesus, that he has to see it, he has to be in that place. And Jesus knows it, and he says to him, do it. Put your hand here. Be with me in this. Because you see, what Thomas needs to learn is that suffering is part of the divine life. He must embrace it. He's afraid right now. He needs to embrace the reality that suffering is where God shows up. He must come out of hiding, and Jesus offers him that opportunity. Brings him back into the fold at the point of his biggest fear. Because you see, we cannot live in a world that is interpreted to us by others. An interpreted world is not a hope. Thomas must see it for himself. But what he also sees is that Jesus is not gone. That Thomas does not have to live the rest of his life without Jesus. He simply has to receive this relationship in him in a new way. In the new way from the inside. What Thomas and all the apostles experience, what we are invited to experience, is to realize that our life is part of God's life, is part of Jesus' life. It's all one life. It's one life. So in a moment, grief is gone. I don't have to live my life without the presence of God in me, in all that I'm doing. Jesus is here. And it's not something we need to wait for at death. Right now, my life is one with the risen one, loving us, living through us. I think a big part of the Christian journey can be that we allow ourselves to live in a world that is interpreted to us by others. That we don't take the time and the effort to actually say to God, this is what I need to feel what you want me to know. So we can take with us Thomas's way of praying. Pray for what you need from God. Unless I... unless I what? And then listen for the answer. When that answer comes to us in the deepest places, then we will be witnesses. It's another great word from today, to be a witness. A witness is somebody who was there. A witness is a person who isn't getting it translated by somebody else. I saw it. I was there. I felt it. I know it. It's the right word, witness. Thomas went forward and built the church in India. If you go to that country today, there's a church there because Thomas went there and built it. Because he knew the risen Christ. And it is because of our witness in this world that there will be a church. Not because somebody told us we need to have church, but because of what we know is true. God is among us. God is within us. And for that we say, Alleluia. Amen.